Oh, you know, God's going to excuse it because he wants to be liked and, you know, he's a cool God and stuff like that. He is a holy God, a righteous God, and that sin must be paid for. Hey, welcome back to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. And in today's video, we're going to be answering the question, does God hate sinners? All right, let's get into today's question. Good afternoon, Brother Jesse. I was reaching out today because I have a question, and it has to do with God's holy hatred spoken of in a few scriptural passages, particularly Psalm 5, verses 4 through 6. And he put the verse here, so let's take a look at him. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. Now this is my question. When David speaks of the workers of iniquity, which God hates in Psalms 5, is he referring to the flesh birth, sin nature of people? I ask this because of teachers in Calvinism out there who teach that God hates some people. I have also heard some street preachers say, God hates you in your sin, and they'll reference this verse, Psalm 5:5. And so I'm seeking to reconcile God's love for sinners and his hatred for sin. I have also viewed the phrase worker of iniquity possibly to mean any sinner which has been fully given over to their sin nature. Just my thoughts, though. Thank you for taking the time to consider and address this question. Have a blessed day. Boy, I mean, you pretty much have it right, but let's go into it. Let's talk about it. It's a good question because, you know, we're living in a culture and society today where preaching on sin is very weak. It's very rare, too. Like, people don't want to talk about sin because, well, we got to be relevant. We're trying to reach the sinner. We're not going to condemn them. Well, let me tell you, God does not feel that way. And I think there's an attempt, and I've used this phrase before. You'll recognize it when I say it. God loves the sin but hates the sinner. I use that, and I'm going to admit, a little naively, because it kind of implies there's a separation between the sin and the sinner. No, those things are married together. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 14 talk about how we're all born into sin. So there's not a moment in your life where you commit that one sin and now you're guilty. And we talked about that in our video about the age of accountability as to when a person is held accountable for that. But we're all born into it. So that's who we are. A dog is a dog because it's a dog. And a sinner is a sinner because it's a sinner. It sins, therefore this is their title. So when God says he hates all workers of iniquity, he's talking about that flesh nature. That's who we are. Okay, and this is not to say, wow, God's really a hateful person. As the person who wrote the question here talks about, this is his holy anger. He has every right to be against that because it was Adam and Eve going against his instruction. And it has brought about the worst punishment, death, not physical death, spiritual death. God hates this sin because it ultimately, if it's not dealt with by the sinner, it will cause separation of God from that person forever in hell. You can look in passages where hell is not created for the individual, although the individual will go there. It's created for the devil and his angels, for sin, for the problem of separation between God and man. So yeah, God does hate all workers of iniquity. Not to say that he hates them in an essence to he'll never forgive them. But what is great about this is that the sinner can escape that judgment because of Jesus Christ. And let's look at that in the scripture. Don't forget, if this is your first time here on Bible Line, make sure that you like, comment, share the video, hit the subscribe button and the notification bell. So every time that we post a new video, you get an alert. Liking, commenting, and sharing the video gets us in the YouTube algorithm to introduce us to new people. And maybe you have a Bible question, maybe something you've heard about for a while and you're just not sure. Ask me, send me an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. That's questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. And we'll be more than happy to get you a written answer. And if we can, we'll make a video about it too. Let's get back to the answer for today's question. All right, so a minute ago, we were just talking about how, yes, God does hate sin, and therefore the person who sins is under his judgment. We can't say that, like, oh, you know, God's going to excuse it because he wants to be liked, and, you know, he's a cool God and stuff like that. He is a holy God, a righteous God, and that sin must be paid for. And this is why what Jesus Christ did on the cross is so wonderful. He took that payment for us. Specifically, You know 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 where it says, he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what Jesus did. But Isaiah 53, specifically verses 5 and 10, really paint a picture about how God felt regarding Jesus on the cross. Isaiah 53, 5 says this, but he, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. So when it says in Psalms 5:5 that God, he hates the workers of iniquity, that hatred was put on his son. And that was sustained by Jesus Christ. He became that sin for us who knew no sin, as 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, so that you and I would not have to go through that. What a redeemer. What a wonderful picture of what we have in Jesus Christ. Let's finish Isaiah 53:5. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So now in Isaiah 53 verse 10, we see this. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Now hang on a second. This is to say that God was pleased with Jesus Christ's sacrifice. So now the believer, as we see in other clear passages like 1 John 3:9, they're born of God and they cannot sin. They have a new nature. We've got John chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Marvel not that I say unto you, Nicodemus, Jesus is speaking there, that you must be born again. And then you have in Galatians 5:16, walk in the flesh and you will not, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10, it talks about all the discipline that is required there to continue walking in the Spirit. That's walking in our new nature. So the believer escapes that wrath because they've put their faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone. So it doesn't change the fact that God hates sin. And if you die in your sin, then you're going to have to answer for that. And that's a serious thing. And you want to get that right by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And then, of course, you have 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, all things of God are new. And there is a part of me that does not sin. It's my new nature, okay? And I have to work on that every day. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10 tells me how I should be treating my sin. But there will be a day when I am absent from this body where I'm present with the Lord, not because I fought sin every day, but because Jesus took my place. I am positionally declared righteous the moment that I believed on him. And you can experience that same thing. So in summary here, just to wrap it all up, I think that the person who wrote this question in, you've got your analysis correct. It's talking about the sin nature, but that is the, you know, that is the person. But where the Calvinist messes it all up is they put their little doctrine of predestination right over everything. They're working from the viewpoint, automatically the starting point, God has predestined some to eternal life and everyone else, he's predestined them to hell. So they look at this verse and say, there's going to be people who hear me and never hear it, and that's how God made them to be. That's not true. And we have to avoid that kind of teaching. I hope this helps. I hope it's a clear answer for you. If you have a question, send it in, question@BibleLineMinistries.org. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon.
If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.